Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. We're concluding our series, The Chase, today. Next week, we're beginning a series called Forgiveness, Freedom for Your Soul, because all of us have experienced hurts, disappointments, betrayals, etc. And a lot of times, we carry that with us, and it affects us in so many ways that we're actually in bondage, and we don't realize it. But God wants to free you from all of those chains so that you can walk in the fullness of everything that He has for your life. So we encourage you to join us next Sunday morning as we begin that new series. Today, we conclude the series, The Chase. And today's message is titled, Fill Us Up, Lord. You know, in the 2008 movie, The Forbidden Kingdom, it's a martial arts adventure movie starring Jackie Chan and Jet Li Chan. Chan was a master in martial arts, and he's trying to teach his student, but the student is constantly talking about various different types of martial arts, crane, snake, etc. And Chan asked him to hold out a cup so he can fill it. And as the student holds out the cup, Chan starts pouring water and pouring water until the cup starts overflowing and overflowing. So the student says, "It's full, it's full, stop!" But Chan keeps pouring and pouring the water. And the student says, "It's overflowing, stop!" And that's when Chan responds by saying, "Son, how can I fill your cup if it's already full? How can I fill your cup if it's already full?" The point being that the student already believed he knew everything about martial arts. So he wasn't open to receiving what Chan was trying to teach him. Chan was the master of martial arts. And the student was so full of his own knowledge, so to speak, that he couldn't receive what the master was wanting to teach him. You cannot fill something that is already full. That's true of a cup. It's true of a mind. And it's true of our lives. God is drawn to emptiness, not to our fullness. He can only fill that which is empty. And this is a spiritual principle that is illustrated in Scripture in the story of a poor, hungry woman who pleaded with the prophet Elijah after her husband, one of Elijah's students in the school of the prophets, died suddenly, leaving her a widow with two sons, financially destitute. Read with me, if you will, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The Scripture says, "One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, 'My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves.' 'What can I do to help?' Elisha asked. 'Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil,' she replied. And Elisha said, 'Borrow as many full jars.'" What? If your Bible says full jars, you have the wrong Bible, amen? Because the Bible says, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your son, shut the door behind you, pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after the other. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." So in the story, you see, here is this widow woman that is destitute. She is in debt, and the creditors want to come, which was a practice in that day. If you couldn't pay your debt, they came and took you as slaves in order to pay off your debt. And so she is destitute. She is in debt. She is desperate because they're going to come and take her sons. And so she comes to the prophet. You see, with her sons gone, with her husband gone, excuse me, she would need her sons for support, because back then, a woman without a male family member was up a creek without a paddle. Because back then, women had very little rights. They couldn't even own property. And so they had to depend upon a male family member. So her husband is dead. If the creditors now come and take her two sons, then than she presently was in. So that situation could make anybody desperate. And she apparently was a woman of faith. Her husband was in the school of the prophets with Elisha. So this was a ministry family. They were in ministry. And she seeks out Elisha, the prophet of God, and tells him her dire circumstances. And he responds, "What do you want me to do? How can I help you? What do you have in your house?" And she says, "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil." Folks, we all have times in our lives where we have come to the end of ourselves, where we feel like we have nothing left, where we feel like we don't, not necessarily in regard to money, even though there's sometimes where we just don't have the money to do all that's facing us, but sometimes we feel like we have no strength left. Sometimes we feel like we have no fight left. You know, life has just been coming against you, and you've been fighting the battles, but it's worn you down, and you feel like you just have no fight left. Sometimes you feel like you don't have any energy left to keep on going. Have you ever been there? I know I have. I put up both hands. Amen. I've been there. So Elijah said, "What do you have?" She says, "Nothing at all except for a little flask of oil." Elijah says to her, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors." Empty jars? Wait a minute, man of God. I thought you were going to help me. I have enough empty. I have empty cupboards. I have an empty bank account. I have empty plates and empty refrigerator. And you want me to borrow empty jars? I have enough empty. I have nothing at all. I don't need empty. I need something. I need something. But the key words in this passage are nothing at all and empty. I have nothing at all. Go and borrow empty jars. In this place of nothingness and emptiness, this is the environment where God makes himself manifest. In the place of nothingness and emptiness, that is the environment where God makes himself manifest. So God is making a point here, and God is establishing a spiritual principle. My prayer for us today is that our emptiness would lead us to a desperation for God to fill us to overflowing with the fullness of his oil. What is his oil? Oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit, his anointing, his power. And so my prayer today is that we would each sense our emptiness, our nothingness, and we would come before the Lord with the desperateness that this widow had, and we would cry out to him to pour out his oil and fill us to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at the story of this widow, it reveals to us the atmosphere in which God pours out his Spirit. First of all, we need to offer to God our emptiness, not our fullness. We need to offer to God our emptiness, not our fullness. Our fullness is the greatest hindrance to experiencing the fullness of God. We are masters of living with a facade of fullness. Just look at social media. Everybody is putting on display the best pictures of their life. They're trying to show everybody what a wonderful and full life they have. When in fact, loneliness, that deep inner emptiness of life, is at higher percentages in our society than it has ever been before. We go through life putting on a smile on our face. People ask us how you're doing. You could be falling apart. You say, "I'm fine. How are you?" Or for a Christian, we say, "I'm a highly favored and blessed of the Lord. How about you?" And inside, we're grumbling. We pretend to be strong, even when we're falling apart. And we try to prove to everyone that we are independent. We've got it all together. When we're just crying out for someone to be there for us. We even pretend spiritually to be full and victorious. But all it takes sometimes is for a single crisis, for this carefully crafted house of cards that we have built, called our life to come crumbling down. Like the widow, the first domino that caused the cascade of falling in her life, a cascade of problems, that first domino was when her husband fell sick. Her husband fell sick. There was probably mounting medical bills. There was no income because he was the provider. Then there was his death. Then there was the cost of the funeral. There were more bills. Everything was unraveling. Everything in her life was falling apart. And at some point in our life, we've all been there. Have you been there? Amen. About half of you. The other half will give an altar call for liars after the service. Amen. But you know, if you haven't been there yet, you need to burst your bubble. But pack a lunch, because you will find yourself there one day. I'm not being a prophet of negativity, but it's just life. But when you get there, when you have nothing, when you're at the end of yourself, when you sense the complete emptiness of your life, that can be the beginning of a great blessing if you turn to seek God as this widow did. Because it is in our nothingness, it is in our emptiness that God's fullness is made manifest. As long as we pretend to be strong, independent, and have need of nothing, we are too full of ourselves for God to pour anything into us. But when it's all stripped away and we come to the end of ourselves, that's when we discover that we're just at the beginning of the one who is more than enough. He is more than enough. He is more than enough. In your absolute destitution, in your emptiness, in your nothingness, He is more than enough. When the nothingness of your life causes you to sense at the core of your being the utter emptiness of your soul, that is when you will begin to realize your need for God. And that is when the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, that is when He is able to move in our lives. See, what we need to realize is that our emptiness, not our fullness, is attractive to God. Our emptiness, not our fullness, is attractive to God. God is drawn by our emptiness, by our barrenness, not by our fullness. Just think about it. In the Old Testament, this is just one example, but in the Old Testament, there were four women: Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, and Hannah. And all of these women were barren. Their wombs were empty. They could not conceive. They could not have children. But in each of their cases, God did a mighty miracle. And then in their emptiness, God did a mighty miracle. And the child that was born of them played a crucial role in the purposes of God. Because they were empty, there were vessels waiting to be filled. And God worked supernaturally in them. Folks, we should come to God saying, I have nothing. I am completely empty, Lord. I am desperate for you, God. I'm crying out to you, Lord. I need you, God. Hallelujah. Show up daily in your prayer closet and say, Lord, I have nothing. I am empty, God. I need you. Come to this altar every service and say, Lord, I have nothing without you. I am empty. I need you, God. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. See, we need to show up in church not like the Laodicean church of Revelation chapter 3. You remember? Jesus said that that church said, I am rich and I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And you know what? Jesus wasn't in that church. Where was He? He was outside the door knocking to try to get entrance. But they thought they had it all together. Amen? We must not be like the Laodicean church, going around parading our fullness. I've got it all together. Because you can be sure that if you walk around in the pride of thinking that you have it all together, that God is not in you. He's outside the door, knocking to gain entrance into your life. We need to come to the Lord, crying out, Lord, I have nothing without you. I am empty without you, Lord God. I need you, Lord. Come and fill me. Let me tell you something. If you show up in the place of prayer empty, God will show up and He will fill you to overflowing, just as He showed up in this widow woman's life and filled all of those empty vessels. There's a chorus of an old song that we used to sing, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. When we come to God and say, fill my cup, we have to bring an empty cup. And that's symbolized by the thirsting and the hungering that is mentioned in that chorus. We come to Him with our emptiness, and we lift up the cup of our life, and we say, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Write this down. Full vessels have no room for God. God delights in empty vessels. Full vessels have no room for God. God delights in empty vessels. The second principle we see is that the magnitude of our emptiness determines the measure of our filling. The magnitude of our emptiness determines the measure of our filling. We need to concentrate the emptiness of our life. Concentrate means to focus your attention on a particular subject. And too often we try to ignore our emptiness and to fill ourselves up with things that cannot truly satisfy. You know, we feel empty, so we busy ourselves with a lot of activity. And we're running 24/7. We are exhausted. And the moment we stop, that emptiness is there. We try to ignore the emptiness and fill our lives with so many things that cannot satisfy. God is telling us to concentrate on the emptiness. Elisha said to the woman, what do you have? She said, nothing at all. What did he do? He focused her attention on her nothingness, on her emptiness. Have you ever seen concentrated fruit juice where all the water has been dehydrated and it's thick and the flavor is intense? We need an undiluted emptiness. We need a concentrated emptiness. We need an intensified emptiness because that is what God is drawn to. So don't water down your emptiness by trying to fill it with things of this world. Bring it to God undiluted. Bring it to God in its fullness, in its intensity. Elisha tells the woman to concentrate on her emptiness. Look what he said. She says, I have nothing at all, just a little oil. He says, go and borrow as many empty jars as you can. He didn't say, go and borrow some money. He didn't say, go and get a personal loan from your friends and from your neighbors, or go and borrow some food. He didn't even say, go and borrow some more oil, which was like money in that day, because as we see, she later sold the oil and made money to pay her debts and live on. But if she had borrowed money or food or oil from others, then she would have gotten only what humans can do. The supply would have been limited, and it would have been temporary, and it likely would have needed to be repaid. She would have gotten what only man can do. But Elijah told her to go and borrow as many empty jars. Turn to your neighbor and say, empty jars. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, empty jars. Amen? He told her to go and borrow as many empty jars as she could from her friends and neighbors. Oh, man. Man does not have what we need.
God was telling her that man is not the answer. Other people are not your answer. Humans do not have what you need. Don't borrow anything else from them because they cannot meet your need.
Just collect some empty jars. She had a lot of emptiness in her life. Her pantry was empty. Her bank account was empty. Her house would soon be empty if her sons were taken into slavery. And now, she's to collect empty jars, as many as she can. Elisha was saying, you've got a lot of emptiness in your life, but it's not enough. Collect some more emptiness. Because it's only in that emptiness that God can fill you. One church leader of time past said, according to your want shall be your supply. Or in other words, according to your emptiness shall be your supply. God fills in direct proportion to our emptiness. If there's little emptiness, then we will see little of God in our life. If there is great emptiness, now, don't get me wrong, we all have great emptiness. We just don't all admit and recognize our emptiness. But if there is great emptiness, then we will experience God doing great things in and through us. So intensify your emptiness, your desperation, your hunger for God. Don't fill your life with things that cannot satisfy. Some of us have so filled our life with social media, we don't even have time to pray. We fill our life with busy activities, we don't have time for church. Why? Have you ever told your kids don't eat junk food? Now, parents, if you're a parent, you probably told your kids don't eat junk food. They'll be ready in an hour. Because if they fill up on junk food, it has no nutritional value. It cannot sustain life. But it will temporarily fill their stomach so that when the nutritional food comes, they won't be able to eat it. We fill our lives with so much junk food in an attempt to fill our emptiness. Social media, busyness, all sorts of stuff. But that emptiness remains because nothing in this world can satisfy. So we need to concentrate our emptiness. And then we need to collect the emptiness of others. Elijah told her to go to her neighbors and friends and collect their empty vessels. I have a vivid imagination, so sometimes I just picture myself in the Bible story. You ever do that? I can just picture her, shuffling her. And she goes door to door to her neighbors in this little town. And you know how life is in little towns, right? Everybody knows everybody's business. So they all know her husband's died. They probably were all at the funeral. They all know that she is in debt up to her eyeballs. They know what's going on. And she comes knocking on their door. Oh no, here comes Sister Empty. What does she want? And she knocks on the door, and they think maybe she's going to ask for money, or maybe she's going to ask for food for her children, or maybe she's going to ask for oil. And then she asks, do you have any empty containers that you can give me? And they're probably thinking, you ain't got no money. Your refrigerator's empty. Your cupboards are empty. Your sons are hungry. Your bank account's empty. What you asking for empty jars for? We didn't really want to ask him for money or food. But now you've got our curiosity piqued. What are you asking for empty jars? And all that must have given her and her sons an opportunity to tell them, well, you know, the prophet, the man of God, says that God told us to collect all of these empty jars. And all their neighbors and friends probably looked at them like, you know, they were just crazy. They just, you know, were short on their marbles, you know? But I'm sure it stirred up some curiosity. And it probably stirred up an interest for what was going to happen. You know how it is when you get that little morsel of interesting information and you're like, I want to know what's going to happen. You know?
was set for God to glorify himself in that entire town. God had set the stage for his name to be glorified in the lives of all of her friends and family members. Let me tell you something. God can and does bless individuals, and he moves in individual lives, but he wants to do a greater work. God doesn't just bless you to bless you. God blesses you so you can be a blessing to others. God moves in your life so that we can move for you to touch the lives of others. When God fills us with the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just fill us with the Holy Spirit so we can jump up and down and shout hallelujah, speak in tongues and feel goosebumps. He fills us with the Holy Spirit to empower us to come out in the world and take the love of Jesus and the message of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to touch our lives. He blesses us to be a blessing. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a move of God. Revival is a move of God that comes upon the collective emptiness of a group of people. I want you to hear that again. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When God sends revival, it is a move of God that comes upon a collective emptiness of his people. Thirsty souls, hungry hearts, crying out to God. It may just start with one person. In this town, it just started with this woman. It may just start with one person praying and crying out. But that person's intercession will collect more empty vessels. You know, when you see somebody crying out to God, it begins to stir your heart. And you begin to cry out, and you begin to say, yes, God, I feel that same emptiness. God, I want your spirit to be. Have you ever felt that? So one person's intercession can collect more empty vessels because it will stir up the hearts of others who are desperate for God to know. You remember the wedding feast of Cana, the first place where Jesus performed a miracle? They had this wedding, and back then, weddings weren't just one day. They were 7 days. Can you imagine paying for a wedding that lasted for 7 days and you had to feed the whole crowd? Man, it's expensive enough just one day. But back then, they did it for 7 days, and it was the seventh day. And this couple, they had run out of wine. And that was one of the biggest embarrassments or shames in that day, to run out of food or run out of wine so that you could not host your guests. And so they have come to the end of themselves. All they have now is emptiness. And Mary comes to Jesus and asks him to do something. Now, a wedding is a celebration of the goodness and abundance of life. But even in the midst of all of that celebration, they experienced emptiness. And it's a symbol of life. Even in the best times of life, there is an emptiness that only God can fill. The joy that the world has to offer will always run out. It is only temporary. So when they run out of wine, they're in a panic. And Mary comes to ask Jesus to do something about it. And initially, Jesus says, what do you want me to do about it, woman? Like, this is not the reason I came. But he allows them to exhaust their earthly ideas as they scramble about trying to find a solution. He allowed their emptiness to intensify so that they could feel the full degree of their nothingness. And when they ran out of all earthly options, at the urging of Mary, Jesus has some of the people to gather what? Six empty jars. And he got them involved in collecting the emptiness so that they would become partakers in the miraculous filling of these jars. So they were to collect these empty jars, and they were then to go and fill these jugs with water. And each of these jugs held about 30 gallons. And when they brought these jugs to Jesus, Jesus took these formerly empty jugs, and he miraculously turned the water into the best wine they had ever tasted. From emptiness to approximately 180 gallons of the best wine. Now, it wasn't the alcoholic wine, and I'm just putting this in as a caveat, not the alcoholic wine like what we drink. How do I know that? For one thing, Jewish wine was not with the high alcohol content that we have today. Secondly, it was the seventh day of the feast. The Bible said they had all drunk a lot. And so if they had all drunk a lot and Jesus gave them more, he would have been contributing to their drunkenness. And we know the Bible says drunkenness is a sin, right? So there's no way Jesus could have participated in their sin. So it's not the alcoholic wine that we know. Amen? But that's an extra sermon for an extra day. But I just wanted to put that caveat in there. But he worked in their emptiness, and he worked in the midst of their collective capacity of the jugs that they brought to him. They brought him six jugs, approximately holding 180 gallons, and he filled those 180 gallons with the best wine they'd ever tasted. He filled it to the capacity of the emptiness they brought to him. What was once empty, what was once lacked, by his great power, was supernaturally filled with grace and blessing. There's something powerful about collective emptiness. Whether it's empty jars, or empty water jugs, or empty hearts, gathered in one place when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one accord, and suddenly they came down from heaven. They must have been so empty. Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been taken up into the heavens. I'm sure their hearts were heavy. I'm sure they felt the emptiness of Jesus' absence. And there they were in the upper room, a collective of empty hearts, waiting to be filled by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, "We're two or three gathered together in my name, there I will be in their midst." Hallelujah. With empty hearts gathered together in his name, he will show up. Hallelujah. We need to gather together in our emptiness, in our pain, in our hurt, in our longing. Hallelujah. To bring it all before Jesus and say, "Lord, I have nothing without you. Lord, I'm empty and I need you." You know, Paul describes Christ in Ephesians 1:23 as the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. But he can only fill us when we're empty, amen? But when we come together and we present our emptiness to his fullness, it becomes the opportunity for a supernatural work of God. With the widow woman, the flow of oil continued until the last empty vessel that she had borrowed was full. The flow continued until the last empty vessel she had borrowed was filled. You see, the flow of the oil of the Holy Spirit is determined not by God's ability or willingness, because he said, "I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." So the flow of the outpouring of the Spirit is not determined by his capacity or his willingness, but by the measure of or the magnitude of our emptiness. The magnitude of our emptiness. As I said, oil in Scripture is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when our hearts have gathered in collective emptiness, God will pour out his Holy Spirit to overflowing in our midst. And his Spirit will continue to flow as long as we are empty vessels. And here is a revelation we need to receive. Oil is meant to be used. Oil is not meant to remain in a container. It is meant to be used. How do we use it? Well, in ancient times, it was burnt as fuel for lights, right? And we use oil to do what? To cook. Oil is meant to be used for a purpose. And when we are filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, we are filled for a purpose. It makes us useful for God. And as we allow God to use us, the oil is being consumed, right? Because when you burn a lamp with oil, it consumes the oil, so the lamp ends up having more emptiness. Right? So you got to keep filling it. When you cook with oil, what happens? It gets consumed. So the amount in the jar goes down. There's emptiness there. So you need more oil. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God fills us for a purpose. It makes us useful to Him to minister to others, to witness to others, to pray for others, to let the gifts of the Spirit flow through us in ministry to others. And as God is using us, the oil presently in us is being consumed, so we remain in a state of perpetual emptiness and being filled by the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some folks, they got baptized in the Holy Ghost 10 years ago. They spoke in tongues once. Never have allowed God to use them for anything. I wonder why they're not experiencing fresh moves of the Spirit in their life. Because they got filled. It remained right where it was. Stagnant. No. Let God use you. Let God use you. Let that oil flow out from you to touch and minister to others. And as it flows out from you, new oil is going to flow into you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. But you can't fill something that's already full. God has gone to that which is empty. God delights to fill and to work supernaturally in that which is empty. You go all the way back to the creation. The scripture says, in the beginning, and the earth was without form and void. It was empty. And God created everything out of nothing. Into the empty void, God called the worlds into existence. God is attracted by emptiness. God is attracted to move in nothingness. God delights to work supernaturally in that which is empty. Let us learn to live empty so that God can continually fill us, so that God can continually work in us, so that God can continually overflow from us to touch the lives of others. Let's take our emptiness to His fullness so that He can fill it with the infinite supply of Himself. He is the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. There's an infinite supply. You can't exhaust the presence and power of God. There is an infinite supply. And as we bring our emptiness to Him, He can fill us with the infinite supply of Himself so that He can manifest Himself through us supernaturally, so that He can use us for His glory to touch the lives of many others. That's what God wants to do. That's what Pentecost is all about. We can do nothing without Him. We can't do what He's calling us to do. We can't live as He's calling us to live without the oil of His Spirit, the power of His Spirit. But the first step to finding God and experiencing His presence in our lives is to enter into relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, because the promise of the Holy Spirit is only given to those who have placed their faith in Christ. See, all of us have sinned, and sin has broken our relationship with God. That's the whole reason that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, lived a sinless life, and went to the cross. He offered His sinless life as the payment for our sins, so that when we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we recognize we've been headed in the wrong direction. We've been living life without regard to God. We've been heading to destruction. We don't want to live that way anymore, so we make a U-turn. That's repentance. We say, Lord, I turn away from my sin, and I turn to You in faith. I confess that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all of my sins. I place my faith in Jesus as my Savior. And the moment that we do that, the Bible says we're born again, we're made spiritually alive, we're brought into relationship with God as His sons and daughters, and we begin a wonderful lifelong journey of learning to love Him and follow Him and serve Him. And that's what the Bible calls being born again or being saved. That's what makes us a follower of Jesus. And if you have not yet repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus, or maybe you did so many years ago and you drifted away, but you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me right now. Would you say this prayer with me, dear Jesus? I believe that You are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you. Forgive me, and I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, we want to congratulate you. You just made the best decision of your life, and welcome to the family of God. Amen. So if you just prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to encourage you to text "I prayed" to the number on the screen, because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet to help you understand the prayer that you just prayed and how to continue to move forward in your new relationship with God. Because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. And so we want to help you understand your next steps so that you can continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. So if you just prayed that prayer and you're in-house, please text "I prayed" to the number on the screen. If you're online and you prayed that prayer, just type "I prayed" in the comments. A little later today, look for a message from us with a link. Click that link and fill in your name and email address so that we can email you free of charge this little booklet. But once again, congratulations. And I want to encourage everybody, especially those who just prayed, but this is true for every Christian. There's three things we need to do on a regular basis to keep growing in our relationship with God. One, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Start by thanking Him for the good things in our life, because every good thing, the Bible says, has come from Him. And then talk to Him about whatever problems, challenges, or difficulties you may be facing, and ask His help. At a very basic level, that's prayer. God wants to hear from you every day. He loves you. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And the number one way God talks to us is through the Bible, His Word, His message to us. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the YouVersion app for free on your phone or on your tablet. There's never a charge. You can read as much as you want. Start reading in 1 John, a little booklet in the book in the New Testament that will tell you who Jesus is and explain what He's done for us. Read just 5 or 6 verses a day before you pray. Ask God to help you understand what you're reading. What you don't understand, put it to the side. When you need to know it, God will help you to understand it. What you do understand, pray that God will help you to put it into practice in your life. And then the third thing we need to do is get involved in a local church. Get connected in relationship, because that's what will help us really to grow. So if you're here in the South Florida area, of course, we welcome you in our New Life family. We'd love to have you as a part of our church, and we'll walk alongside of you, pray for you, and support you. If you're outside of this area, then please find an Assembly of God church near to you and get connected there. But once again, welcome to the family of God. To those of us who've already received Christ as our Savior, I want to encourage us today to come before the Lord and say, God, I empty myself of everything in my life, everything that's keeping me from hungering and desiring you more. I come to your fullness and I ask you to fill me to overflowing with more of your presence and your power so that you can use me to touch many lives for your glory. And especially today, if you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want to invite you in a couple moments to come to this altar and ask God to fill you, to baptize you in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you need to be refilled. We all need to be refilled. Bring your emptiness to God and say, Lord, fill me to overflowing and keep filling me day unto day that I can be continually full of your Holy Spirit. If that's your heart's desire, would you just make your way to this altar for a few moments as we conclude our service this morning? Bring your emptiness, bring your nothingness to the Lord and say, God, I'm nothing without you. I need you, Lord. I need you. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with the oil of your presence. Fill me to overflowing, Lord. Just talk to Him from your own heart right now. He wants to hear your voice. He's your Heavenly Father. He wants to hear you, His child, calling out to Him, talking to Him. You don't need any special language. Just talk to Him from your heart right now. Bring your emptiness to Him. Ask Him to fill you. Father, I just thank you for all of these that are at this altar right now. As we stand before you, we stand before you in emptiness. Recognizing our need for you, Lord. Our hearts are crying out to you, Lord God. Our souls are thirsting, are hungering for you, Lord God. We need you, Lord, and we are praying that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord God, in fresh and living ways in our soul. Father, I pray for those that are not yet filled with your Spirit, Lord God. Father, as they seek you, not only at this altar, but in the coming days, in their place of prayer. Father, I pray that you would work in their life, Lord God, that you would pour out your Spirit, that you would baptize them in the Holy Ghost, Lord God, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord God. Father, I pray for those who have been filled in time past, but we need to be refilled, Lord God. Father, pour out in a fresh way the oil of your Holy Spirit in our souls, Lord God. Pour your Spirit out to overflowing, so that we will become that prophetic people who speak forth the Word of God under the power and unction of the Holy Spirit, and that we would do the deeds that Christ did in the supernatural work of your Holy Spirit, bringing healing and deliverance to the lives of others, of God, that your Word may be confirmed through us, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Flow. Let there be a continual inflow and outflow. As your Spirit flows in, let it flow out from us to touch and minister to others, and let your Spirit continue to flow into us, Lord God, that we may be perpetually overflowing with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Your presence is so wonderful, Lord God. There is nothing in this earth that compares. There is nothing better than your presence. Father, I pray that there would be such a thirst, such a hunger stirring into us, Lord, that we would seek for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit long after the service has ended, that it would be our daily pursuit, Lord God, that you would pour out your Spirit in greater measures in our life, Lord God. Continue to work in our hearts by your Word and your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday life. We love you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.